Top. So yesterday we saw that Rav Hamnuna Bred Rav Yosef was sent by Rava to bring his tefillin, and he found them under the pillow, and he knew that that was Yom Tevila, and he came to teach him Halacha LeMaaseh that even when a person is intimate with his wife, he's allowed to have tefillin under the pillow. So this is the source in the Shas. This is the source that we have a biblical mitzvah to be intimate on the night of Tevila.
Really?
And how did he know that that was her day of Tevila? So in the days of the Gemara, when you kept the laws of purity, which they did till the generation of Rava, they still had some paraduma ashes left long after the destruction of the temple. So they might have even brought a carbon pesach. On Har HaBayis.
Really?
They had the ashes. Why not? They might have brought a carbon pesach in the days of the Gaonim too. So the Tomahot Rabbi Tziva. So in those days, everyone had to know when a woman was defiled and when she went to mikvah. So because everyone else also needed to know, they shouldn't become defiled. And so in those days when a woman was nida, so she and the kids lived in one place, and the husband, if he was keeping purity, if he was being careful to eat all his chulin b'tahara and everything else, especially if he was a kohen and half his food was truma, so then he would have to find his own place to make do. When the woman would go to mikveh, she would go, her children would go, her bed would go, her linen would go, her pots and pans would go, unless she was wealthy enough that she could afford to leave that in a separate house. You know, if she had a separate house for the time she was defiled, she could leave them there and only she and the kids would go. So because this pertained to so many aspects of life, it was known. It was relevant to everyone. It was relevant to her and the kids and the family and everyone. It was a part of life. After we stopped having all these laws of Tumah and Tahara, so then it only became relevant to one thing, to when a couple could be intimate and can't be intimate. And there's a biblical mitzvah to be intimate that night. So then the Gaonim made a ban. They cursed anyone who reveals when is the day that a woman goes to mikvah, because it's immodest. It's like saying tonight they're going to be intimate. That's foul language. The Talmud says that one of the things Hashem hates with a passion is people who speak things immodestly, what the Gemara calls foul language. In the Gemara terminology, foul language is vulgar jokes. So Hashem hates that with a passion. So the Gaonim made a cherem that you're not allowed to reveal when a woman's going to mikvah. A woman shouldn't tell anyone. A husband doesn't tell anyone. It's no one's business because it pertains to one thing only. They're not going to the temple. They're not eating holy foods anymore. It doesn't pertain to anything but one thing. So then it becomes something that's not so modest to talk about. So Rava, well, there's no problem that Rav Hamnuna Bred Rav Yosef knew that Rava's wife went to mikveh last night, because everyone knew when everyone was pure or defiled. And just like men were pure and defiled, as we saw in the Gemara earlier, people knew when their Rebbe was tameh and when their Rebbe was tahol. It pertained to the food they ate and it pertained to so many things. So too they knew when a woman was pure or defiled, because it pertained to many things in life. So that's what's going on in this Gemara.
How did they toivel their beds? Beds were like straw, right?
No, beds were wood.
Wood bed? They didn't put straw?
No, they had strings. They also had straw.
Yeah.
So straw isn't the Kabbal Tumah.
Straw is not the Kabbal Tumah. Just the bed box.
The frame. Yeah, the frame is the Kabbal Tumah. They had different types of bed, but basically you had a bed frame. They had strings. They also had straw. Depends on what the bed was, how the bed was. That's why they say sleep tight, because they tightened the ropes before they went to bed. Otherwise, your bed sank.
It's a pain to drag this giant bed. Mikvah, which mikvah can fit up
in? That's how we know they used to toivel their beds, because the Mishnah discusses just that. How do you toivel a big bed in a small mikvah? That's what the Mishnah discusses, and what happens if the feet fall into the mud at the bottom of the mikvah? Okay. Back to our Gemara.
used to be more complicated. Jews.
Ba'amenei Rav Yosef, B'reid Rav Nechunya, Merav Yehuda. So he asked him the following question. Shnayim she'ishanim b'mita achat. Two people are sleeping in one bed, which used to be common practice.
What do you mean two people? Like?
Two people sleeping in one bed.
Two strangers?
No, well, let's see in one second who we're talking about. Ma'u she'zeh zir panavika ki'achma, v'zeh zir panavika ki'achma. What's the halacha? Can each one turn around and read Shema? Now, in ancient times, people didn't wear pajamas. There wasn't such a concept. So, under the covers, they weren't wearing anything. So, now he wants to read Shema. If he just turns around and each one is not facing the other one, is that enough from the laws of modesty to read Shema? Amali achi amar Shmuel, v'afilu ishtaymo, Shmuel said you could read Shema, even if the wife is with him. Now, Shmuel didn't really say it about Shema. Shmuel said it about leaving tefillin under the pillow. But the Gemara over here says that Shmuel said it about this too. That so long as they're facing the other way, that's okay. What's the problem if they're facing one another? So we would say, because his heart is exposed to the erva. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says if they're facing one another, then the fact that they're touching with their intimate parts, so that causes arousal, and then he can't read Shema. That's why it's prohibited to read Shema when they're facing one another.
Touching?
Yeah, we're talking about a situation, small bed, husband and wife, yeah. So the fact that their intimate parts are touching, that's going to arouse him, naturally, and so that's not a situation in which he could read Shema. But if their backs are touching, that's okay. So that's what Shmuel said. Matkiv la Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, wait a second, Ishtov lom bay acher? Ado ba ishto ki gufo, acher lo lav ki gufo. He asked him, what happens if there's someone else in bed with him? He said, well, you see, if his wife is there, it's okay, so long as they turn around, obviously someone else. So Rav Yosef says, what are you talking about? His wife, he's less prone to be aroused from. He's with her all the time. It's something that's second nature to him. Someone else, that does arouse him. Now here we have to pause for a minute. There's an interesting point of distinction which we have to explain. If there are children watching, this isn't for children. We have a halacha that says that we don't suspect that two men will sleep together. There's a halacha that says, Ein Yisrael Chashudin Al Arayos. It's true that it depends on the generation. As the Tur writes, as the Bach writes, as the Gra writes, that depends on the generation. You know, if there's a generation where that's prevalent, then you can't say that anymore. That's why I say today, it's not so pashut to just quote that. Today, it's like Greek times. It's prevalent. It's the same thing out there. So people think they're sophisticated. So that today there's room to question whether we can really apply the leniencies that stem from this rule. But nonetheless, let's assume that it's still relevant. There are other things that are for sure still relevant. It says that we don't suspect the person's going to be intimate with his daughter, with his son. We don't suspect that. And yet, we're going to see in the halacha here that the halacha assumes that if they're both under the covers together, that he's aroused and he shouldn't read Shema in certain circumstances. So when I hit this Gemara, I said, wait a second, you're telling me we don't suspect anything's going to happen. Yet you're telling me he can't read Shema because he's aroused. So I asked Rabbi Baruch Schwartz, who was still is, huge Talmud Chacham in MTJ. And he explained it to me as follows, and I think his explanation makes perfect sense. He said, there are two things. One is the question, do I suspect he will actually do something with this person? The answer to that is no. I don't suspect the person will do something with his own daughter. Are there people who do? Obviously we know there are people who commit incest and all kinds of terrible things in the world. That's true. But we don't have to suspect that the average person is going to do that.
You mean the average person, Jew or
like yeah, yeah. Well, that's a good question. Right now we're talking about a Jew, about humanity. It's a separate discussion. So he said, but a human being, his body, his physical reactions are such that certain things arouse the body, even though he's not thinking of being intimate with this specific person. And so certain scenarios can cause him to be aroused, and in such a state, Chazal didn't want him to read Shema. It's not that he's interested in his daughter. He's not. But that doesn't mean he won't be aroused. And that delineation between physical arousal in a general way compared to attraction to a specific person, that's a very important delineation. Because if a person can recognize that there's a difference, then that helps a person keep his arousal in check.
You're talking about a physical reaction, not an inclination, netiya.
Huh?
You're talking about a physical reaction, not netiya, not inclination.
Correct. Correct. So that was how he delineated this. Later on, I found a basis for this in the Halachos and Ibn Ezer. It says clearly, sometimes there are fertility issues, they have to verify what the husband's state is. It says that we use hot dough, hot barley dough to arouse him. He's not interested in the barley dough.
Nowadays?
It's talking about in the days of the Gemara, okay. In the days of the Shulchan Aruch. So you see that warm to the touch, certain things can arouse a person. That's nothing to do with being attracted to that person or that piece of dough. It's not what's going on here. Now, sometimes people can take it the wrong way. That's where this delineation can be a huge tool for a person to hold himself in check. The fact that something arouses him doesn't mean he's necessarily attracted to that direction. Chazal said, no, you're not attracted to that.
But inclination could lead to a physical reaction.
That's true. No one's saying the other way can't work. Obviously the other way works. Okay, so that's where we're going to be headed with these Gemaros now. But the Gemara is going to set up shop here, the next Amud. The Gemara is going to focus down to the two dots. what's permitted and what's forbidden when two people are under the covers undressed, as far as reading Shema, and then where should each one face. And that's where we started. So we began with the question, if two people are in bed, can they turn around and read Shema? And he quoted Shmuel that said, even with his wife. Now he didn't say if he's facing his wife or not facing his wife, and the Gemara at this point understands they're both facing the opposite way. To which Rav Yosef asked, you can't learn from his wife to someone else, because his wife, obviously he could still concentrate even though he's there with his wife. His wife is like an extension of himself. But someone else, that's a different story. So that's, we'll pick up here, Bezachem, next time.
So when you're talking about